Hello, I'm Father Ray Petruzzi. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We have a really a fact-filled and fun-filled and program ahead that really, I think, should inspire us. And before we meet our guest, I introduce my co-host. I would like to speak to you, our listeners, and ask you, as I do all the time, please consider letting us know your thoughts, your ideas, recommendations. Love to hear from you. Two ways to reach us. Send us a letter. You could address it to Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, the zip code in Greenwich is 06836. That's 06836. If you're on the computer and rather email us, please do so. Send your comments to clemons10@aol.com. That's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, the number 10, at aol.com. While you're on the computer, I encourage you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. You can find that at spirituality.org. That's spirituality.org. And while you're there, hope you enjoy the articles. Also, you can listen to our radio program, Thoughts for the Week. And that's great time. You can do it at your own leisure. But I do hope that you consider contacting us, and I do hope that you consider going to our internet magazine. And I certainly hope that you enjoy and listen to our program today. Let's begin it. First, let me introduce my co-host, Ms. Dorothy Rivera. Welcome.
Thank you, Father. Excited to be here with our special guest.
And our special guest is Father Martin DeMeo, who is the spiritual director, rather, of the Legion of Mary. And many of you may be very familiar, at least with that organization. And Father DeMeo, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, you are the spiritual director of the Legion of Mary. This is not our first introduction to the Legion. It has a marvelous history to it. And I know we spent some time speaking about that. Mr. Frank Duff involved. Now, what year did it begin again?
It was in 1921.
1921. And he was a layperson.
Yes, he was a... He was born in 1889, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And so, what's that? I guess the Legion started as 22 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And now, he had his involvement was in Ireland, where native of Ireland. And I'm trying to move along in the history because we had a wonderful program, which really, the whole program is devoted so beautifully to the history. And he worked in what we might call a lot of social action activity.
Yes, it was. In fact,
helping the
Pope Pius XI at that time was trying to encourage Catholic action. And this is interesting too. Frank Duff had papal approval and encouragement before he had the approval of his archbishop. Now that happened.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened again. He had some influential contacts, and one of the men who was his mentor from St. Vincent de Paul Society had become like, I don't know if he was the Prime Minister of Ireland or something when it got its independence, Southern Ireland. But that man wrote a letter of introduction for Frank to the Pope. Mm. The Pope, actually, the Legion, somehow I can't remember how the cardinals in Rome heard about it. But the cardinal had heard about Catholic action. Somehow he heard about it and invited Frank to come. And Frank and there was an audience somehow scheduled with the Holy Father. And Frank spent 20 minutes with Pius the 11th. Mm-hmm. And Pius the 11th was so impressed with it. He said, "I give you my wholehearted blessing on this," and encouraged it greatly. Okay. So they had papal encouragement before they had approval from his archbishop. And his archbishop was a little kind of slow to give it because there was pushback from some of the clergy, believe it or not. The priests were thinking, hey, this is our stuff. You know, what are the lay people doing this for? They thought it was anti-clericalism. And Frank was just ahead of his time. You know, lay people, okay, the lay people prayed. What was it? Pray, pay, and obey. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they did. And Frank was God was using Frank to get people out of that and into an authentic Catholic spirituality,
And sometimes the clergy is intimidated by the lay people, I think. But anyway, Father, what is the mission of the Legion of Mary?
Well, that's a very beautiful question. Frank was very impressed with something that grew on him in the St. Vincent de Paul Society. And this is something that we just have to learn to have it become the fiber of our being. Jesus said to us, whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do it for me. He's saying, I'm this person in front of you is me. Okay, I'm in this person. Mm-hmm. So what we say, what we do, we're saying to Christ, we're doing either to or for Christ. And this impressed Frank, and the impression grew on him. And so it's the mystical body of Christ. He wanted to serve Christ. He wanted to serve the Lord in the least of his brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And so with the Legion, it was about serving Jesus in the spirit of Mary. Serving Jesus with the spirit of Mary. That's not pie-in-the-sky piety. Mm-hmm. You know, that's asking. Montfort taught Mary is an example for us, but she's also a mold in which we can be molded. And we can look to her asking for a portion of her spirit to imitate those virtues that we see in her. Okay, and the scholastic tradition identified a number of those virtues for us that you can see in the biblical text. Those few texts that we have, there were about 10 of them that they said, let's focus on these. Okay, humility being the first, faith being another, obedience. There was mortification. This Montfort called it universal mortification in all things. We don't think about that anymore. But think about everything that needs to die in us in order to become Christ-like. That's what he's talking about. Mm. Okay? Her ardent charity, her surpassing purity, her
compassion,
her heroic patience, her angelic sweetness, her divine wisdom. You know, all of these things we could ask for. Yes, her compassion. You know, to ask for these things. And you know, Mary is someone, in the communion of saints, Mary is someone who can enter into our lives and does. Actually, we don't understand. Jesus worked out the gift of salvation for her. For her. He did it for her, first and foremost. And in order that she could be, he did it for her fidelity, okay? Think about it. This woman was, as soon as she was able to think and pray and recognize the difference between herself and us, she was not conceited, incredibly, it would have made her grow in humility, but she was like the only sober person in a room full of alcoholics. Mm. She's immaculate. She doesn't have the wounds we have. She doesn't have the inclination to selfishness or self-centeredness and all that comes with it. She could be tempted from the outside, but she didn't have it from within. And so her first prayers would have been, Lord, fulfill in the world, do in the world what you've done for me. Her love for God would have made her pray that way. Everything she would have been doing was been praying and offering her day in thanksgiving and praise, asking the Lord to bring about the work of salvation and the renewal of the human race. So she longed for it, and she became a mother. Actually, in the incarnation, she became mother to the humanity, and it was consummated on Calvary. Okay, mm-hmm. Her maternity for the rest of mankind, spiritual motherhood. Okay, and we're meant to be formed in her. We can be. This takes an interior dimension to our life with the Lord, a vigilance and a fostering of a kind of a prayer life in order to enter into this. Okay, and that's the Legion in taking Montfort as a guide on this would foster that.
And what does it entail to become a member if one person would like, male or female?
Yeah,
is there a commitment
yeah.
to
Yeah. Well, first, there's just there's a lot of parishes where there isn't a legion right now, mm-hmm. and there could be. We call the groups in the parish a presidium. Okay, and the presidium is at the pleasure of the pastor. It's meant to help the pastor, actually, in his mission. Okay, that was Frank's whole desire to extend the work of the priest, to be able to do things that the priest himself can't do.
Mm.
Okay, the pastor, and so they if he invites them in, if he allows the presidium to be established, any man, any woman who wants to become a member. Can anyone who wants to get involved in this can? There needs to be a spiritual director, and Frank was hoping that the pastor could do that. If there's a deacon there, the deacon could do that. What is the commitment? The commitment is there's some particular prayers that they agree to pray on a daily basis. The rosary is encouraged, but there's some other daily offerings. Of prayers of offering to say, and then there's a commitment to coming to a meeting every week. It's not meant to be more than an hour and a half, and if it's run well, it won't. The size of the group, we call it a presidium, is to be kept to such a size where this doesn't become a burden. Okay, and then they agree to a certain amount of work, a minimum of like 2 hours of apostolic work. The point here shouldn't be, okay, I have 2 hours, let me do that. The point here is to be transformed into Christ, okay? Really what you and I need to ask is, how open do we want to be to the love that is God? Mm. How open do we want to be to this love who is God? And for lay people, for us, for priests and lay people, we're not cloistered monks that are supposed to find this in the privacy of our personal prayer life and the work in a cloistered community. We're in the world. And so our mission territory is the world around us, our families, our friendships, our associations, all this out there, all that's out there, you know, society in general. Okay, to see Christ in all of those people, and to want to serve Him, okay, to want to bring, so that He could be formed, so that His life could be formed in them, so that His heart could be formed in them.
Yeah, you hit on the magnificent insight of finding and seeing Christ in others, even the ones that may tend to want to just push aside. Who are just, you know, so, you know, and yet to see or want to, just what Jesus did, I've come for the sinner, I've come to save the person. But it does take a choice, doesn't it? It does take a commitment of self to say, you know, I don't want to just go out there and be myself, because myself may not treat this person well, or may not pay attention to this, or be interested in this person, or helping them, but Christ certainly does want to. And if I want to be or a Christian, and I want to show evidence of it, then I got to choose this to be that selfless and to say, let me try to do my best to love the person, therefore it does marvelous things for the person, too. that they begin to feel less defensive and more open to your presence, too.
Yes. You know, I want to say this. One of the things about Montfort that I find encouraging, it might be a little surprising, but I find encouraging, he said, even our best works are going to be marred in some way by the wounds that we bear, mm-hmm. which means we're always offering to the Lord a piece of bruised fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a fruit, but there's some bruises to it. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to... that keeps us humble, you know? And I don't have to... Thank God I don't have to be perfect before the Lord will work with me, mm-hmm. because if that was the case... I'm dead. All right. It's a done deal. All right. What I'm finding in my own life is when my humanity, my fallenness, my thoughtlessness, and my sinfulness gets in the way, it's humiliating, and humiliation's a tough school, but humiliation's a good school.
Mm.
You know, it chips away. And the Lord uses all that. So there's sometimes you have to eat humble pie and man up and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes you just have to deal with things, you know. But
I think also the visual helps a lot. There's a shrine here in Connecticut dedicated to our Blessed Mother, run by the Fathers.
Oh, the Montfort Fathers, yeah, up in Litchfield.
In Litchfield, which is a beautiful, I think, visual effects. You know, going to these places that are so special also open up the heart to understand Mary and to be closer to her.
Sure. Pilgrimages are a wonderful moment of grace. Pilgrimages are a time of renewal. God works, you know, when we take time off. When we take time out and we give him time, he will work. Mm-hmm. And so whether you go to the Blue Army down in New Jersey, go to the Montfort Fathers, you know, these days of pilgrimage, these are wonderful. Mm-hmm. The Shrine of Divine Mercy up in Stockbridge, you know, these are beautiful things.
How is the membership with the youth? Are they involved? It's so difficult today, I know. Do you catch them, like, in Catholic schools? Can you have Legion of Marys in Catholic schools?
Oh,
it used
yes,
to be like that
can.
Years ago. It used
we
to be
certainly
like that.
Can. Do we? It's another matter.
We used to think of the term of sodalities. And the men that have had the boys, they had their other.
Okay.
Thing.
Now this is sodalities. Yes, men's groups, women's groups, Rosary Society, St. Vincent de Paul Society. These are all wonderful things. The Legion of Mary is not just that. Okay, because the Legion of Mary is trying to be transformed into Christ by being transformed into the Spirit of Mary, if I can say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You asked me about the promise. Let me read to you the promise. This is a summary of what the Legion of Mary wants to be, and it's a summary of what Montfort taught. All of this addressed to the Holy Spirit, because he's got the mission of sanctifying us. Jesus is sending him into our hearts to help us see what it means to love and to dare to love. Okay, help us to treat each other the way God would have us treat each other. Here's the promise that a person makes. To become a legionary, there's like a 3-month waiting period, or probationary period. Do I really want to? Can I do this? Can I commit the time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I do this? Yes, we can do this. Okay, and then when they make that point, here's the Most Holy Spirit, I, my name, Martin DeMeo, desiring to be enrolled this day as a legionary of Mary, yet knowing that of myself I cannot render worthy service, do ask of you to come upon me and fill me with yourself, so that my poor acts may be sustained by your power and become an instrument of your mighty purposes. But I know that you, who has come to regenerate the world in Jesus Christ, has not willed to do so except through Mary, that without her we cannot know or love you. That it is by her, and to whom she pleases, when she pleases, and in the quantity and manner she pleases, that all your gifts and virtues and graces are administered. And I realize that the secret of a perfect legionary service consists in a complete union with her, who is so completely united to you. So taking in my hand the legionary standard, that's a little thing, which seeks to set before our eyes these things, I stand before you as her soldier and her child, and I so declare my entire dependence on her. She is the mother of my soul. Her heart and mine are one, the goal of the spirituality.
Mm.
Okay. And from that single heart, she speaks again those words of old, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, and once again you come by her to do great things. Let your power overshadow me and come into my soul with fire and love, and make it one with Mary's love and Mary's will to save the world, so that I may be pure in her who was made immaculate by you, so that Christ my Lord may likewise grow in me through you, so that I with her, his mother, may bring him to the world and to the souls who need him, so that they and I, the battle won, may reign with her forever in the glory of the Blessed Trinity. Confident that you will give, that you will so receive me and use me, and turn my weakness into strength this day, I take my place in the ranks of the Legion, and I venture to promise a faithful service. I will submit fully to its discipline, which binds me to my comrades, shapes us to an army, and keeps our line as on we march with Mary, to work your will, to operate your miracles of grace, which will renew the face of the earth and establish your reign, Most Holy Spirit, over all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a very beautiful prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we, and there are so many beautiful prayers in our tradition, and if we really let the words sink in, they are amazing.
No, I'm sorry.
No, no, I was just going to ask, and so, Father, do you, as the Legion of Mary, do you go out and evangelize and teach people about the Legion of Mary? How can, you know, if we don't have, it's not in all the parishes, how can parishioners who are interested and want to dedicate their life to our Blessed Mother, how can they find out?
Well, okay, so they just call. You know, we have a directory. The bishop put out a directory of the different things that people can get involved in the diocese. The Legion is there. If they were to call the chancery, someone could do that. I'm at Sacred Heart Church in Stamford. They could call there, you know.
I think a lot of people are unaware of what the Legion of Mary is.
It's on the app, right? For the app people.
Oh, God. Okay, wait a minute. Here's my cell phone. It's a flip phone, all right? I don't want a smartphone.
Yeah, you know, I was forced into it when the hospital chaplain.
Yeah, so I'm at Sacred Heart, messages could be left, and we can contact, you know, leave your name, your number, and we can contact. I'm at Sacred Heart in Stamford. That's 203-324-9544-9545. So, you know, you can call me.
And there's going to be a wide range of activities.
Absolutely.
In America.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that. It's really great.
Yeah. Okay, we can't. They used to go into hospitals. We can't do that today because of the HIPAA laws.
If I may, I depended on the Legion of Mary during my 13 years as a hospital chaplain. They made rosaries for me.
Okay.
They were involved in the Mass. I mean, if they became Eucharistic ministers, you know, to move through that, you can see the service just wanting to be given through that. And yet the spirituality you talked about.
Yeah. I should back up on that, too. If people say they'd like to be visited, that's a different matter.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, we couldn't just go to the hospital today and look at the sick list of, look at the names of all the Catholics in there and start to go in. Would you like a visit?
Yeah.
You know, in fact, that kind of put the kibosh on having a sick list at all at Stamford Hospital, because there were some members of the Legion of Mary doing what they thought was a good thing.
Yeah.
But I guess it got back to the hospital and they said, hey, we can't have this. We'll end up with, you know, someone complaining, lawsuits and whatnot. And so, nursing homes, oh my gosh, to go into a nursing home, I don't know how many times, Father, how many times in a nursing home have you had someone say to you, I don't know why I'm living anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why doesn't he just take me? Mm-hmm. They don't. It can be nobody wants to go to a nursing home for a reason, you know. It's like the waiting room. Mm-hmm. And what people, if people in a nursing home realize it is a sacred and blessed place, that this is a time of grace in their life, that God hasn't forgotten them, and that their time there can actually bring them closer to the heart of Christ, that's an awesome thing.
Well, you think of the power of the we always say masses at the nursing homes, either once a month or more, but you see how important it is to the people. And when you think about the Legion of Mary and the idea, like in the prayer, it's a connection. It said, I have a sinful nature, but I also could be graced. And Mary, you were, you know, as a young woman, you know, became the handmaid of the Lord. You just possess all these things I wish I could have within me, and also I depend on your humanness, your humanity, and that when you go to a nursing home, I could see that how desperate need for that contact of not simply professionals doing a good job, but someone who has that spiritual reality in them to relate to them.
Yeah.
Are you able to, could Legion be a little freer to work in a nursing home?
Well,
in a hospital?
I don't know of any nursing home that wouldn't like to have people come in, as long as they tell them what they're doing, to visit with their people, you know, the people that they're caring for. So that's a very beautiful thing, and that's going on. Can we evangelize? Absolutely. The way I got, I never knew about the Legion until I was in seminary, mm-hmm. and one of the faculty members started a presidium in our seminary. I happened to be sent to Rome. I was in Italy for 4 years for seminary, and I happened to be there during the Great Jubilee, the year 2000. I went from 99 to 03. And we started the Presidium, we started the Legion in the North American College in 2000. We were going down to St. Peter's Piazza once a week for a couple hours to talk with the pilgrims coming in. I can't begin to tell you the kind of conversations I was getting into. Mm. They're unbelievable conversations. People, you know, okay, I'm wearing a collar. I'm not a priest. At the time I was a seminarian, but I was someone safe to talk with because they weren't going to see me again. Mm. Okay, and plus they thought, okay, he's a seminarian. That's almost a priest in people's minds. the bishops have a different. Oh my gosh! But anyways, I got into some awesome, awesome conversations about where people were in their life. And, you know, they begin to tell me things, and I was able to turn the conversation to the Lord and where they were with the Lord. Mm. And it just takes a little bit, it takes a grace, it takes a little bit of work to do that. But I found myself in some really amazing conversations. And in Stanford, in my neighborhood around the parish, I am learning that evangelization is a work of grace, and we know that, but then I'm learning it at a different level. Because I was trying to go up in my neighborhood and to talk with people, and I got to tell you, I chickened out a few times.
You know, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's not a Catholic thing. We don't think this way, you know.
Did you drain you?
You know. And so, what did I do? One day, I had a little pocket Bible tucked in the back of my belt. Okay, you know, like coaches will have on the sideline of a football game or whatever, their game plan or whatever, in their back of their belt. Okay, so I went up around the corner and I was talking with these fellas. And I was introducing myself to these people. They didn't want to have anything to do with me, okay? And I had I thought, oh, this is bombing. And my tail's between my legs. And I said, okay, fine. I walked away from them. I walked to the other side of the street. I was going to go up around the corner. And there was a guy watching me go by. And he said, Father, you got a weapon.
And it was your Bible.
It was my Bible.
Yeah. And I thought,
well, it is a weapon.
This is an open door. I had been praying to the Blessed Mother. There was a couple of weeks I'd been going and chickening out. And I finally said, Mother, I'm not going to do this unless you open the doors. You got to do this. And that happened. Yeah. And so it opened up some amazing doors. You know, I'm getting to know some people there. They're broken. Mm-hmm. They're broken. But she's... Yeah, you know, it's interesting what can happen. What the Blessed Mother can do is something. So,
wow. Well, you know, incredibly, we're at the end of this program,
and
we talked a lot about the Legion of Mary, but your testimony really manifested the Legion of Mary. I'd like to encourage our listeners maybe to contact your local parish, speak to the pastor, talk a little bit about at least wanting to learn more about the Legion of Mary, and maybe you could get something going in your parish. What a great organization, what a great reality. To our listeners, thank you for being with us. Father DeMeo, thank you for being with us. Dorothy, as always.
Thank you,
and,
Father.
We hope you join us again next week. God bless everyone.